good to know that God is not only the God of today, but He's the God of our tomorrows. And if we simply put our hands, or put ourselves in His hands, our tomorrows will be bright with hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. I heard the Lord say, first of all, I thank the Lord for getting our brother Tim back here. But I heard the Lord say Transition Sunday will be February 13th. It's a unique day for me as well. It'll be my 1 year anniversary. Another woman has put up with me for another year. But I do know, that that's going to happen. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, October 31st. I went through Starbucks this morning. I go through there early. They evidently are getting up for just me because I can drive straight through almost. But so the young lady asked me, she said, well, what are you doing to celebrate the holiday? And I looked at her and I didn't, usually I'm pretty quick-witted. I said, Halloween is considered as a holiday. Well, I'm going to church. She said, oh, I'm going to dress up and act like a Christian. But I heard the Lord say that we're not to base our life upon what has been. We base our life on what will be. And we could go back to the past and we could anchor ourselves to the past. But the only thing that's going to give us hope is the anchor of our soul, Jesus Christ. So let's anchor into Him, not just today, but for our tomorrows as well, because He has our tomorrows planned. And though we've gone through stuff, though we've gone through obstacles, our God is well able to keep that which we'll commit unto Him. And so as we begin to enter into prayer over these next days, let's just say, God, thank You for what You're doing in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life. And thank You for what You'll continue to do. And we began to sing the blessing about You and then your generation and their generation, your children and their children. I'm telling you, those of you that have unruly children, you can count on that. That's scripture. That your children are going to go with God. And they may not act like it right now, but bless the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to go with God. Boy, if we just have to slap the juice out of them, we're going to get them there. We'll slap them with a good dose of love. Amen? Because sometimes your kids will look at you and think, yeah, I don't want much to do to God. But they're going to have a lot to do with God because God has a plan for them because He had a plan for you and me. There was a day when you and I had people praying for us and say, oh, they'll never come into the kingdom of God. Well, boy, did we surprise them. Amen? We should profess our thanks to God on a regular basis. And we are going to come behind in no good things. So anyhow, I speak the blessing of God, not just in a day, but in a tomorrow, filled full of tomorrows. And as we begin to walk the way God wants us to walk, I believe the liberation that comes from inside out because we are born again. I know this, and this is just something that God revealed to me in just the last week. It's amazing how sometimes you think you know something you don't know a whole lot. And so I was just thinking, and the Lord just very gently said, did you know that your spirit man will not have any changes made when he leaves your body? I've already made him everything he's ever going to be. And so you might as well tap into that now. On the inside, you are something else. Your spirit person is something that is created in the image of God. There's no flaws in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. I was even happier, thank God. Boy, I'm so glad to be here. I cannot tell you how happy I am to be here. I look forward. I drive 200 miles to get here. Not this morning. I came in yesterday evening. But I'm just thankful to God because of the faces of this group of people that He's put on my heart. And they will forever be imprinted. You will be forever imprinted upon my heart. And so as we begin to live this life, we need to understand that God really does love us. And his love is a love that passes knowledge. He loves you more than you can even understand. Just like when you get that opportunity to have your first child, it's so wonderful. And Carly and Isaiah getting ready to have their first baby. You know, I got to warn church people. I just remind you, listen, when a young mother has her first baby, she is like a mother bear. Do not touch, because you will get your hand bit. But Christians somehow think everybody's baby belongs in their arm. But no, if they offer you the baby, one thing, that's another thing. Just like Sandy and I remember when we had the twins, it was amazing how much work they were. And I thought I was going to get by without doing all that work, but taking them and putting them in the nursery, we were very reluctant to do that. It was a hard thing to do. And we reluctantly gave them, and then Lindsay came and wow, it was little easier to put her in the nursery. And then Kristen came and we kind of shot like a free throw with her here. And then Seth came and we went to three pointers. Take him! You change over the years. But the thing that God wants us to do is understand that this thing's going to be passed on generationally. And there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Sons and daughters. You're a son and daughter of God. Hallelujah. And who else would you want to be fathered by? Other than God himself. Amen. Well, we could stop there and go home and say that's been real good. But the problem is I have 7 pages of notes. You think I'm kidding? 7 pages of notes and a half page of jokes. Oh boy. I love God. I love God. I love what he does. I love his promise. His eternal promise. This Bible became alive to me back in 1973. And it's gotten even more alive since then. This does not decrease. It increases. Amen. This truth will abide forever. Heaven and earth will pass away before one dot or tittle of this word passes away. You can count on this word. Forever settled. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, thank you for using deodorant. Maybe they won't slap you. Here we go. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom as the children drew pictures. The teacher would occasionally walk around and see each child's artwork. As she approached one little girl who was working especially hard, she asked what she was drawing. Little girl told her, I'm drawing God. But sweetie, the teacher replied, no one actually knows what God looks like. Automatically, the little girl continued drawing and said, well, they certainly will in a minute. I like a child's faith, don't you? Do what you can to keep it going. A devout old shepherd lost his favorite Bible while he was out looking for a wayward lamb. 3 weeks later, a sheep walked up to him carrying the Bible in its mouth. The shepherd couldn't believe his eyes. Took the precious book out of the sheep's mouth, raised his eyes heavenward, and exclaimed, it's a miracle. Not really, said the sheep. Your name was written on the inside of the cover. Listen, again, they do not get any better than this. Here's one that most of you will probably relate to. Words of wisdom. There's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. One more scripture. I'm going to end with this. I was telling Debbie the other day that here, and we haven't done it for a while, but typically when I say we're going to end with this scripture, we're going to bring it to an end here with this scripture, and I would ask the congregation, what does that mean? And the congregation would say, see there? So, we just keep on going, we pastors. We need to realize that we can, should Jesus tarry, we could hook up next week. But my heart, my prayer this morning is that you get a little bit of glimpse of the Father this morning, if not a lot, and his heart for you, and his unconditional love toward you, And that really, if we were real honest, he's not angry with anybody seated in this place. Some people would say, could you disappoint God? I suppose you could. But I also know God's so into the future that it's hard to disappoint God. You can frustrate the grace of God. I understand that. But for the most part, God's not mad at you. He loved you while you were a sinner. Why would he love you any less as a believer? Sometimes I say some things I think, I'm going to buy that tape. But you just need to know how much God loves you, how much he cares about you. Amen? The Lord laid on my heart this past week, and I wanted to kind of pursue that, and I will pursue it in probably maybe a couple directions, and I'll just leave that up to the Lord. How many of you know that the Lord knows better than I know? And we want him to have his way. And one of the things that I'm learning to think like is this. I really don't know what I want so much anymore as I'm really endeavoring to find out what God wants. What does God want for me? And I know that the Bible, and we teach faith, we teach it hard and heavy here, and I believe that faith is an incredible force that God's given us to live this life victoriously. But the victory that we live comes through his son, Jesus Christ. The life we now live in the flesh, we live it by the faith of the Son of God. So we do want to have our needs met. And the Bible says in Philippians 4 that God will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory. And we do want to have our wants met like the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But we need to learn to want what he wants, because what he wants is better than what we want. And sometimes that's a growth thing. And say, well, Pastor, that's good. I'd like to have what you have. I'd be real happy. No, you wouldn't, because things can't make you happy. You could be lulled into that. And again, I'm happy that people are taken care of. I believe God will meet everybody's needs here and not tap him one bit. The abundance that comes from God will come to your life just like it will anybody's life, because God's not a respecter of persons. But God wants you to really want more of him than you've ever wanted before. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to get us to today with the Lord's help. I want to talk about patterning your life after something. Like, what's your pattern for living? What is it that God wants for you? What do you look at to get a sign and something to follow, if you will? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That he should be the one that I follow. The Apostle Paul tells us in several scriptures throughout the New Testament, he said that we should be followers of him as he follows Christ. He does in one scripture. But at the same time, the Bible also says we're to be imitators of God. We are to follow him in all that we do in every facet of life. My sister Dixie was telling me years ago, and I thought I called her to get the story straight. How many know sometimes it's good for pastors to get their story straight? Because I could tell a story, and I'll get one of my sisters, especially if it's about family, and my sisters would be gracious enough, because they watch online, and they'll say, Wesley, that's not quite how it happened. I said, well, let's leave it at that. It makes a better story. And, but I was thinking that it was one of her sons that had done this, but they were driving, and we've had some construction going on here in Hayes, but basically out on the highway, sometimes you'll have flagmen. They'll have a stop sign. They'll stop, and it turns into just a one lane, and so you can only go one lane at a time. So the oncoming traffic is stopped so that this lane can go. And my sister and her husband and one or two of both of their sons, they were behind this car. She said the driver was about probably 16 years old, and it looked like he was driving his grandparents. And somebody that was probably about my age, maybe, I don't know. 55 is not bad, and talking speed limit. But anyhow, she said they followed that pilot car, because the pilot car says, pilot car, follow me. And so when they got down to the place where the pilot car turns left, turn around and come back the other way, this young kid just followed that pilot car, turned, You know, it's good to follow a pilot car if it's going the right way that you need to go. That's got to be a wonderful moment, and I wish you'd had that on a video or something. But that, he did exactly what he was told. It's amazing sometimes that we could do exactly what we're told and it be the wrong thing. I remember, Seth, remember when you were like a fourth or fifth grader, I was coaching you in basketball, probably the best coach you've ever had. And, but there was a young man named Nick. And they're fourth, fifth graders, and so they're just learning a lot. And Nick, you could tell him what to do. He'd look at you and say yes and just do the exact opposite. And he was just fun to coach. So Nick got under the basket and he just was going up for a shot and got fouled. And so I thought, well, okay, he's going to go to the free throw line. I said, Nick, next time I'm sitting on the bench and not too far from maybe from here to where Dean is sitting and he's on the free throw line. I said, Nick, next time you do that, just give a head fake and go up with the ball. Take one step and lay it up. So he gets the ball at the free throw line and he goes. Well, that was good, Nick, but not exactly how we wanted it. So sometimes you will hear people say, here's the pattern in life that you need to live by. Here's what you need to follow. But if it has nothing to do with God, then it's not worth following. And we can use that pattern of life in any arena of our life. I'm not saying that everybody is called to do what I believe everybody's called to do what you do. Do what you love. God puts a purpose in all of us. And it's in that purpose that we begin to develop the pattern of life that we live, the model, that which is modeled before us. And would to God that we would be the people that people would look at and say, you know what? I could probably follow their lifestyle. And my question to Christians all the time is how do we act out in the community? Do people know by our lifestyle? Do they know by our words? Do they know by our actions that we're Christians? Do they know? That's a good question for all of us to ask. If you went to a basketball game at Hayes High when my son or my kids were playing or whatever, you would find out, people would wonder about whether or not I was a believer. And the only recourse I have to that is I really believe that God told me supernaturally that referees were from hell. Which is a horrible joke. And I've got good friends that are referees and I got friends that are not referees. So anyhow. But anyhow, this saying covers everybody. And we're living in a day and age where it's so easy to show our carnality and people expect us to reply that way. And I've done my share. And so I'll just say that right up front. I'm not done always a real good job at that. But the thing of it is, I want to. I want to be a good example. I want to live a good life before my grandchildren. I want them to, whenever the time comes, and I don't plan on dying for a lot of years, but when my time does come and they lay me to rest, I won't be in that body. I'll be in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I remember Wesley, somebody asked him what he thought about me. Why do you like your grandpa? And he said, well, he's nice. I thought that's good for a grandchild. And it only cost me $5 to get him to say that. That's not true. So here we go. Just some scriptures that I think will help you and help me. And so, Lord, I pray today. I pray today, Lord, that you use me. That you speak through my mind and speak through my lips as I call upon the greater one who indwells me. And God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, that we would have a word in due season, that we would go away from here blessed by you, that we would go away from here knowing that we are embraced by you, and that we would be a people that on the inside of us would be assured because of who we are in Christ, that nothing that you have planned for us we will miss out on. We want everything you have for us. And we thank you that we will be a people that will come behind in no good thing. And God, we bless you. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to read in Philippians 4, and I'm going to read from three different translations this particular passage of scripture. You say, Pastor, you do this a lot. You just get one scripture and bring it out in several different translations. Well, some people here, the first translation is Amplified. The reason we do that is for the people who are hard of hearing. Another bad joke. Amplified. For you back there, Mr. Watts. So anyhow, that's true. But the Amplified just has a way of elongating the meaning, then it helps us learn. And then the New Living Translation is more in our modern vernacular so that people can understand a little bit better. I know when I first got started, the only translation I had for years was the old King James Version. And it took me a while to get used to it. Now I love that version. I like the poeticness of that version, and I like it. But I like all translations that help me see Jesus clearly. Amen? So let's start in Philippians 4, verse 8, the Amplified Bible. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take an account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Practice, and this is the verse that we're honing in on throughout these three scriptures. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living it. Your way of living it. And the peace of God, the peace of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. If there's ever a time that we need to have the fullness of that peace that's of untroubled, undisturbed well-being and it be with us, this is that day. We need that peace more than ever. If you had that peace and you had it manifest in your life on a regular basis, you would guard it with everything that you have because it is a supernatural peace and it is worth giving into. But he prefaced, if we're going to have that peace, we're going to have to get our mind thinking in the right way. It's going to have to think like God. Well, how does God think? Well, you read his word and get his word revealed to us. That's how God thinks. He thinks according to his word. His thoughts and the word of God are one and the same. Amen. Now, the New Living Translation, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Isn't it kind of hubris? Not hubris, but isn't it kind of arrogant of him to say, follow me. I think if you know Jesus real well and you know, according to Galatians 2:20, that the life we now live in the flesh, we live it by the faith of the Son of God. We know that if they follow you and you're living for Christ, then they're going to see how Christ would live in a situation through you. And that's kind of a simplified way to look at it, but that's true. So in verse 9 again, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. And then out of the Message Bible, beginning in verse 8, summing it all up, friends, I'd say to you, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, and compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. How many know that means you can't watch the news anymore? Because it can fill your mind with stuff that it doesn't need to be filled with. And then verse 9 says, put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I love the way it says that. God who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. And so we, as believers, need to literally make our minds up just to practice walking according to the Word of God. And when we see somebody that we can follow, you know, I remember years ago there was a debate about whether or not the athletes were good role models. Not all athletes are good role models. But let me say this, not all Christians are good role models. Not all pastors are good role models. We want to be a role model that's infused with God. That when people see you, they see God moving. That when people hear you, they hear God talking. And I kind of count this as a notch on my spiritual gun, so to speak, but I remember sometime one lady got really upset with me, and one of her criticisms of me was, she says, "You think you're God." Well, I don't think quite that high, but I think I'm a lot like him because I was created in his image. But I'm glad you noticed. That irritates people, especially because, listen, I can see, you can see God working through people. That shouldn't surprise any of us. He lives on us. He wants to get out. That's what the apostle prayed in Galatians. He says, "I pray that that man that's on the inside of you will be released outwardly. That he will be released so that people will see the nature, the true nature of God lived out through you." And we spend a lifetime doing that. We spend a lifetime practicing that. Boy, that people, when they see me, maybe God help them to see Jesus. Help them to be drawn to Jesus. If we're living the way God wants us to be, we should be a drawing card for the Lord. Getting kind of quiet in this Pentecostal church. I say that every now and then I see some people are visiting this Pentecostal. Well, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in other tongues. I do a lot. I speak in tongues a lot. Doesn't make me better than anybody. It just helps equip me. I used to have family that contested the fact that I believe that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of having a heavenly prayer language. And I said, I just don't see what's all that bad about something and a force called the Holy Spirit coming into my life and helping me love Jesus more than I've ever loved him in my life. The Holy Spirit's whole purpose is to continually point us toward Jesus. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit's involved, he is pointing you toward Jesus. And if what you're experiencing is not doing that, it's not the Holy Spirit. And just hallelujah. Now let's go on into, we'll back up a little bit into Philippians 3 and read out of the New Living Translation out of verse 17 through 21. This is the Apostle Paul again writing, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth." How many of you are thinking every now and then about the return of Jesus? The Bible says that hope will be the anchor of your soul. Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and Jesus has not showed up. Boy, he showed up in my life. He penetrates my life on a daily basis. But there's going to be one time he splits the eastern sky, and we'll see him as he is in all his glory. And by faith, and by just a little bit I know, every day that passes is one day closer to that happening. I wouldn't want to be, you know, we're getting to the place, I mean, all the stuff that's happened and just since back in the spring of 2020 has pointed that there is a subversive, evil, wicked spirit trying to ruin our lives. But not going to do it. Hallelujah. "But we are citizens," verse 20, "of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies that looks a lot like Pastor Wes's. That's a faith statement by me. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Isn't that awesome? He's just saying, the Apostle Paul is saying just real succinctly, pointedly, follow me. And do what I do, do what I say, live my example, and you're going to be okay. If you're living a life and you're spending time with somebody at one sin, nothing to do with the things of God, I would just real graciously sever that relationship. I don't care how old they are, don't care how young they are. I would just sever it. Amen. That same passage of scripture out of the Message. I'm going to jump down to the Message, Carrie. It's only 25 after. We could start in Genesis. I like the way he says it in the Message. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals. Everybody say goals, not God's, goals. If you have goals in life, make sure they're God's goals for you. Choosing other goals and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. Brothers and sisters, I've been doing this for a long time. I started pastoring full time in October of 1977. The 1st of October this year, I've been pastoring full time for 44 years. So I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen a lot of people that could have just lived for God, and they started out with just such a flourish of His presence in their life and the reality of His presence. And they would simply, you'd look at them and say, those people are just going to do so well in the kingdom of God. And years later, decades later, they want nothing to do with God. They've become embittered by stuff they've gone through. They had this mentality that said, well, I become a Christian, so I should have nothing bad happen to me. Well, when you become a Christian, you become a target of the enemy. But there's some people don't even believe that there's an enemy. And he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has come to hinder your walk with God, however he may do that. And so sometimes when we're living this life, we need to make sure that we're not giving the enemy any place. You know, Keith Moore has been teaching by video here the last couple of Wednesdays. And I'm going to bump him this Wednesday. I'm coming in. I'm going to preach here Wednesday night. He doesn't know that yet, but I'm taking some. Keep it a secret. But the Apostle Paul said about those people, I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. Did you know that being a Christian sometimes can be hard work? This side over here seems to be a little more responsive. Do you know that being a Christian can sometimes be hard work? But if we live our life in faith, we'll let the faith of God do the work for us. Amen. All they want is Easy Street. They hate the cross. They hate Christ's cross. And I always think, who could do that? Who could just say, I hate the cross of Christ? And then I began, over the years, I learned some things. But I know this, it's at the foot of the cross where we choose to lay down our way and pick up His way. And they love their life more than the life that Christ is offering them. I don't understand that, will never understand that, don't care to understand it. All I know is I thank God that I laid my life down at the foot of the cross and I picked up the life of Jesus. And it's affected me, my family. I led my mom to the Lord. I led my sister. I prayed with my sister. I did something that, and I'm still doing, I think every day we kind of almost have to make the determination. Remind yourself, I laid my life at the cross. I laid my life down at the cross and I picked up the life of Christ. And Christ lives in me. I'm filled with the fullness of God. Because in him dwells the Godhead bodily on the inside of Christ. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He lives on the inside of me. And we want to somehow release him. We want to pattern our lives after him, Jesus. If we're going to pick a true model to follow, he would be it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's not saying, well, boy, am I really something. But isn't it wonderful that you can, you know, I was just thinking, Brandon, you know, when Brandon got born again, we had to kind of pick him up out of the gutter and wipe all the stuff off him. But he started coming to church here in, as a senior in high school, was it? You know, and he was smitten by Shana and followed her into church. But I'm just saying that those decisions that you make way back then, look what's happening. Look at what's happening. You got your wife, your daughter's up here. Pretty soon Trent will be up here singing solos. And I'm a faith man, Trent, but I don't think I can go there. Well, we're talking decisions way back when that really affect the todays. And there was probably opportunity. Everybody has an opportunity sometimes to say, I give up. But why would you want to give up? The worst thing that can happen to you is you quit breathing and go to heaven. And that's not, I hate to put the word worst in there. The worst earthly minded people that would be, but heavenly minded people said, well, let's get after it. That's going to be a good ride up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all okay with this? Verse 20 of this. Actually, I'll go back to 19. But easy street is a dead end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. Sounds to me like God's setting up an incredible life for you and for me. And he's telling you and I, just like the apostle says, now listen, pattern your life after me as I follow Christ. Live your life after me as you see me live for him. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's okay to act like a Christian. It's okay to dress up. But matter of fact, God's given us some incredible armor. He's dressed us up pretty good. He's dressed us up so well that if we'll keep the shield on the helmet of salvation down, the enemy doesn't even know it's us. He thought he had gotten the best of Jesus. I crucified him. And then through the resurrection, there's been millions of people raised up who look just like him. It drives the devil nuts. And I'm glad for that. Amen. We need to understand that God has a way that's much, much better than man's way. And if you agree with that, say amen and amen. As God began to deal with me, because I know that sometimes people, we don't think it's important to get people born again almost. It's almost like, well, if they get born again, they get born again. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. I'm so glad somebody reached out for me and to me and shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am so glad, and you've heard me say this, when I was growing up and we'd have Bible school during the summer, what do you call that, vacation Bible school? All the Bible schools, all the vacation Bible schools in Lakin, Kansas, they always say to their kids that come to Sunday school on a regular basis, make sure you invite somebody that doesn't know Jesus or doesn't go to church. I got all sorts of invitations. Every church group invited me to theirs. And it was real awkward. Could say no, and they said, we're having Kool-Aid and cookies. Oh, I'm in. I'll do that. But I'm thankful they did. As awkward as it may have been for them, and as awkward as it made me feel, I real honestly, looking back, I always kind of kind of liked hearing a little bit about Jesus. I didn't understand God because as a young boy growing up, you're not many places where we're really teaching who we are in Christ. Not really teaching our true identity, who we are. And who we can be. You are equipped to do incredible things. You say, well, Pastor, I've been doing this for a lot of years. So have I. But I don't believe it's done yet. I look at my wife, Debbie, and we say on a regular basis when we look at each other, I will say, the best is yet to come for us. And I've had a good life. I had a great marriage with Sandy, almost just 3 months short of 51 years. But I'm in the process of being loved by two different women with all their heart, with all their soul. It's a different thing. I understand this now. The covenant I had with Sandy is different than the covenant I have with Debbie. We have a marriage covenant. I had a marriage covenant with Sandy, like my daughter Kristen said, Dad, you fulfilled your covenant with her. And I did. And I did it gladly. She was awesome. But my wife I'm married to now is awesome. You're hesitant to talk about that because your kids are going, how could she? She's not our mom. I know she's not their mom, but she loves me like your mom did. That's pretty awesome. Not to mention she's kind of cute. Made somebody choke the baby. Anybody ever have their baby puke in their mouth? That happened to me. One of my twins, I was laying on the floor holding him up, just playing bleh, right at us. Pastor, don't go there. Well, the thing of it is, I still loved her. I had a choice of whether or not I wanted to throw her away. I loved her enough to keep her. Amen. We want people to know Jesus like we know Jesus. Maybe better. Maybe better. Amen. We all want to live a life that sets a good example. That we are a good model, if you will. Now let's go to Ephesians, jump to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Again, this is the apostle Paul, and he's saying, imitate God, therefore, in a couple things. Everything's kind of like an everything word. Every area of your life, imitate God. Because why? You're His dear children. I hear people all the time that say, when they get around Seth and they know both of us, they said, he is so much like you. And they say something like, but he's a bit more intelligent. Which I don't mind. But he is like me because he's born of me. And there's some mannerisms in my kids that I love seeing. And there's some mannerisms in my kids that I go, ooh, they learned that from me. But all I'm saying is, if we really set the pattern that we live by, and we live that we want to imitate God. And some people say, well, how dare we imitate God? God created us just like Him. Why wouldn't He want us to act like Him? Matter of fact, that would be healthy for everybody that we come into contact with. Can you say amen? Have you ever been, I talked a little bit about this, about getting a grip, and sometimes getting a grip on your emotions. But have you ever been in maybe a pretty terse conversation with a loved one? And you're saying some things that you probably know you probably ought not be saying, but you're saying them anyhow. You're letting words fly that shouldn't be flying. And the phone rings. And while you're just having that conversation where you're letting somebody have a piece of your mind, the phone rings, you go, hello, and you find out who is. Well, it's so nice to hear your voice. God bless you. Thank you for calling. That was the nicest thing for you to think of us. In other words, I changed my demeanor in just a heartbeat. And if I could do that for some yakety-yak, call me on the phone, why can't I do that in the middle of a situation with somebody I'm having words with? But sometimes people don't want to do that because everybody thinks, well, they need to have a piece of my mind. I used to say that quite a bit, and I remember the Lord just said, son, if everybody had a piece of your mind the way you say it, you would have no mind left. People don't always need a piece of our mind. What they need is a loving word from God. Can you say amen? You can control. You can get a grip of your emotions and literally say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to say that. That's not going to come out of my mouth. And so when you begin to do that, and I learned that as a process, my kids will tell you that I was far from perfect, but I did correct things. For the most part, if I said something wrong, said something that misspoke, I would ask them to forgive me. I remember one time, picking on Seth Day, but he was little, he was about 4 or 5 years old, and he was trying to help me. I was putting up a basketball goal, and anyhow, you know how little boys are, they think you don't just need one tool, you need every one that's in the toolkit. And he was giving me all, and I said, Seth, quit. And after a while, I just said, you are a pain in the... And just kept on going, got the deal done, and so we went somewhere, and I'm sure this probably scarred you for life, but anyhow. But anyhow, we driving back then, there weren't seatbelt lots, they didn't have, seats for the kids, they didn't enforce the law. And I had him standing right next to me in the car, and I was talking to him, and I just told Seth, I said, you are an awesome son. And he said, just real quick, no, I'm not. He said, I'm a pain in the... And he didn't say it happily. So I pulled over and I said, Seth, I'm sorry I said that. That should have never come out of my mouth. Amen. You remember that? Probably not. Do you? Did you forgive me? What?
I remember the story.
Okay. That way I could really embellish it and turn it into a really good story. But I did that. And I've done that before with my kids. I've done that with people in the church. And the reason you do that is because of who lives on the inside of you. Can you say amen? So in a way, what we're asked to do is sometimes really act out who we are, even though we don't feel like acting it out. How many of you know that there are days you don't feel like a Christian? Even days that you could maybe not even talk like one. I don't know what feeling like a Christian feels like, but when I do feel good about my walk with God, I like that feeling. And when I feel like I've fallen short, I don't like that feeling. I want to please God. And the Bible says the surefire way of pleasing God is to live by faith. Sometimes you call those things which be not as though they are. I don't think I could ever love that person could come to somebody's mind. But you know what? By faith you can. And you do not love people based on your feelings anyhow. It's a decision. Most people want to feel it first and it's not going to happen. I love them because I choose to love them. There are days I don't feel loved by God, but I know He loves me because He said He does. And He watches over His word to perform in our life. The word, literally, when God says imitate, that word also says follow. But that word from the Greek literally means to act like it. That's what actors do. What do you like about your favorite actor? That they played the part so well. That really wasn't them, but they played the part really well. Have you ever been in a movie and you're so engrossed in the character being played by a person who learned the mannerisms, learned how to speak like, learned how to act like, and then they could act it out on a big screen and you go, that's incredible. It's like he was that person. I think sometimes, I think sometimes we have to make the decision to want to act like God. That doesn't mean we're God. That just means we have His character, we have His voice, we have His spirit, we have His nature on the inside of us. And we are a chip off of His block. And He's not an old block. He is a new one every day, bless God. We're created in His image. So the fact that we're being admonished by Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he's telling us, imitate, follow God. Find out what God's character is like. And God's not looking to smite people. He's not looking to put you under. He's not looking to stamp you out. He's simply telling you, I'm urging you, 1 Corinthians 4:16, another scripture. He says, I urge you to imitate or follow me. And he's telling the Corinthians, I'm urging you to act like me. Watch what I do and duplicate in your own life everything you see in me. Do it. Act like me. Because I know Christ and I know He lives on the inside of me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. And he says that in Galatians chapter 2. So again and then again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 7, Paul says, for you know what you ought to imitate, us. It can also be said like this. It would behoove you to follow our example, to imitate and mimic us with the goal of replicating the things you observe in our lives. He said, even follow the apostles' life, who some of them are following my life. Model your faith after somebody's living a godly life. See, I think to me, what would be really an honorable thing is that when my grandkids come to my graveside, they'd say, you know, Grandpa was just a good man. I really like Grandpa. I mean, they like me now. I'm their favorite grandpa named Wes. But, I mean, what do we live for? Have we lived to be known of men? Or have we lived to be known of God and by God? And we live like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, love like Him, unconditionally. How many know there's a work in process in all of us? That we have a ways to go, but bless God, we can get there if we walk with God every day of our life. What do you think would happen in your life if you decided to act that way? Because I believe actions of faith sometimes are not based so much on feelings, but they're based upon the Word of God. God, this, we talked a little bit about actors. So they have a script that they go by that makes... And they learn that script. They learn how to deliver that script. If they're playing a part, a certain part, they're playing a president, and they have film of times past or words that were spoken about him and his character, whatever the case may be, whatever president, what do they act like? Let me ask you this. Do you not believe that we don't have a script? This is the script. This is how we're supposed to act. Every day of our life, we read this and we do this. We act like this. And we try to hang out with people that do the same. Can you say amen? Well, praise the Lord. Everybody say this with me. You want to make a declaration? I believe God hears your declarations. How about this one? Say, I declare that today. I'm going to begin acting like God and imitate the character of my Heavenly Father, successfully replicating Him in every sphere of my life. I know it will require a great deal of time and commitment for me to arrive at this high level of duplication. But I resolve to start where I am today and then do more each day from this moment forward. And I'll keep up my efforts to act like God until I finally begin to act like Him, think like Him, talk like Him, sound like Him, and carry myself in His confidence. I declare that to be true. What better thing could be said about you than that that person follows God? They know you're not perfect because they know you, but they also know you're striving to be like Him. I want to be like you. Popular song years ago when Michael Jordan was playing basketball, that had a movie come out, I Want to Be Like Mike. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus jumps a lot higher than Mike does. Better shot. Jesus has some advantages. And I think, real honestly, sometimes just because somebody plays, throws a football real well or shoots a basketball real well, that's no reason that we follow them. We don't want to be like them. Maybe we may, athletic-wise we do, but as far as character-wise, we learn some things that we don't want to be like them. Amen. But we would like to be like God. Stand with me. This is a good day. This is a good day, like one of those moments where you can just abruptly change and go another direction that's toward God. Amen. You say, Pastor, my life's messed up. Well, you're starting today. You're starting today. Today's a good day to start. Amen. So every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here this morning, you've never, ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ. And that's the first step into having God's life modeled to you. If you've never done that, today would be a good day to do that. On the other hand, you may have already done that, but you've not been living that way. You've chose to live according to another model. Maybe the power of darkness has got you sucked in, saying that there's no hope for you. But Jesus, if He's your hope, He's eternal hope, regardless of what the enemy would say to you. So if you've been born again, but you've not been walking with Him, and you'd like to kind of get that turned around today, today would be a good day to respond. And if you're here this morning and you have sickness or illness in your body and you'd like to be prayed for, that too would be a good thing to do today, because God heals today just like He did yesterday, and He'll heal tomorrow just like He does today. So if any of those areas are you, represent your life, and you'd like to be prayed for in any one of those three areas I just mentioned, I'd ask you, just raise your hand real quick so that you can just say, that would be me. Several hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I really do think, and just go ahead and stay in an attitude of prayer, because I'm going to pray. And I just want to explain to you a little bit about what I'm doing, because so many times we think that nothing flows unless it flows down from the pastor or the person ministering. But you know, we're coming into an age, and I think anybody with any spiritual sense at all realizes this, but we're coming into an age where body ministry is going to be the way. It's going to be the people of God. And so today, we're going to pray for each other. And so today, I want us all to say this. Father, today, I pray for my brothers and sisters. The ones have not yet met God. And I thank you, Lord, that today, they're asking your Son into their life. And when they do, Jesus comes into their heart. And they are forever changed. In Jesus' name, they are born again. And Father, I thank you for my brother and my sister that maybe has not walked in a way that honors you. But today they've made the determination to live their life so that they'll become more like you, in that they act like you, talk like you, live like you, and love other people just like you do. And Father, also pray for my brothers and sisters. I speak to that sickness in their body, that ailment, and I curse it from the roots up. In Jesus' name, today health comes. Today health is restored. And that person, my brother, my sister, will realize immediate results, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And all agree with that said. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.